You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was Arthur Russell with This Is How We Walk on the Moon, which we've picked specifically because it relates to our next guests who are in the studio this morning. We've got David, Raina and Claudia. Kia ora, guys. How are you?
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
We've got the three-person to a two-person mic situation going on in here, so it's a little bit like backup singers. Claudia and Raina are sharing a mic. Yeah. On this Sunday morning.
It's a bit of a duet.
Well, if we run out of things to talk about, you guys can always sing. So that'll keep us going for the morning. But we've got you up here because you have a show on at Room Gallery at the moment. What's the name of that one, David?
The name of it, Someday, Sometime, When All Is Said and Done. I've maybe missed out one or two of the destinations of it.
That's the one.
Yeah, just the synonyms have eventually all sort of strung together.
We had far more synonyms when we first sent the show title through, and I've
cut
been
a few,
able to remember
a few
which
about,
ones.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all about the feeling, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's opened last week, and it's a really lovely show. It's got all of your work in it. It's also got James Wiley, so we'll speak on behalf of James a bit too this morning. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves and a little bit about your practice each? Yeah. Do you want to start, David or Claudia? Raider's in the middle, so he's going to have to just wait.
It doesn't matter which way. Yeah, I went through Elam with James Wiley, and we've been practicing together since, 2012? Back in the Snake Pit days when James and Sam were running that, we had a few shows then, and I guess our practice together has always been about trying to understand the systems and things like urban design and how we respond to them. And then through quite discursive means, James makes a lot of film. Whereas I paint, I used to make a sculpture, but the means don't always allow for that. So I'm quite excited for this show because I've actually been able to make something out of aluminium, which has been really fun. Learned a lot.
It's a big, amazing kite, isn't it?
Yes, the actual content. Yeah, it's a kite. The sails are paintings, and it's anchored to a fossil of seaweed that I found when I was a child swimming at Long Bay Beach.
Oh, lovely. I was wondering what that was, actually. I was going to ask what that bit of... Yeah, it's a nice organic piece connected to this huge big aluminium frame with your gorgeous flags hanging off of it as well. And so James's is a video.
James's is a video, yeah. So he's he works a lot with different, I guess, codes of footage. Some of it's found, some of it's made like home videos, some of it's pretending to be found archive footage, some of it is found archive footage. Mm-hmm. And in the ways that he edits it together, just starts to build up these narratives, these what feel like quite non-linear, but there's something quite robust and concrete in it, and then it all starts to collapse upon itself, and then you realize that everything you've seen is also just all part of it, feeding into itself. It's quite a powerful video. I really rate it.
That's good. I like that. If we had James in studio, he wouldn't be able to say, I really rate it, about his own art. So sometimes that's quite nice to be able to say that about your friend's work.
Yeah, get your friends to talk about your art. It's much easier.
Exactly. I'm going to go along the line. Raina, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. After that introduction, I kind of want Dave to do it. But I'm Raina. Me and Claudia... I guess I sometimes have a collaborative practice, but I'll speak about my own. Mm-hmm. So we both went to Wycliffe. So I trained in photography, during my teenage years, I was quite interested in programming and game development and stuff. So I've kind of slowly worked that into my practice. So a lot of the work that I make these days kind of straddles the line between photography and computer-generated graphics. So,
cool.
Kind of sits in between there. I think I might just leave it there for the moment, and I'll pass it on to Claudia.
Slide the mic along. Hello, Claudia.
Hello. I graduated from Wycliffe with Raina in the same year. Both of us are back there now doing our masters, which we're currently in the first year of. I've been mostly working in... working in the field of sculpture, been mainly working with industrial materials, plastic, mostly polystyrene. I think headphones kind of throw me off a little bit. It's quite strange listening to
it's
my
like,
voice.
It's like hearing your own echo in your brain as well. You don't have to wear them. You're welcome to take them off.
I do that.
It does make you look very professional, though, I'll tell you what. You do have lovely work in this show. I think the one that it's almost the first work you see when you walk into the space, actually, is your work, Claudia. It's the polystyrene in a vacuum-sealed plastic as well. And it has this amazing, awful fleshiness to it, which I kind of loved. I walked in and I was like, oh, this is simultaneously beautiful and kind of gross too. And for something that's like a hard plastic and then with a nice like sort of fluffy polystyrene in it, it sort of manages to look very flesh-like, which is quite alarming. And I think what I like about this show actually is there's a really good mix of kind of sort of organic feeling works. Dave, yours is a bit like that too. You've got the sort of lovely flags and there's a lot more like movement in the materials. But then you've got that paired with obviously James and Raina. Your work is much more digital. It's actually on a two-dimensional, you know, screen thing. And it's very reductive maybe to say there's a nice kind of poetry to those contradictions there. But I think it is also maybe a good entry point. What I'm interested is, how does this show, like, what ties all of your practices together in this show? Because they're diverse in their materiality. What is it about putting all of your practices together that makes the show room?
That's a very good question. A very discursive one.
I want to say ontologies, kind of, or at least the nature of being, kind of figuring that out together.
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
Yeah, that's a very good word to start off with, I think. What about the text that we preface the show with?
The text.
Yeah, the Ufond and Diego's, the collapse of egos.
What's this text, Dave?
So this was a piece that I wrote when I was actually making sense of a lot of fan fiction and apocrypha, things that exist outside of something that's considered canon in a fictive sense. And I was just trying to make sense of like what happens if you treat things outside of that canon as canon. So like, who's that kid from About a Boy with Hugh Grant?
Oh, and now he's like old and famous, or he's like probably in his like late 20s and famous in the other sense.
Yeah, and he was in
Nicholas Holt. It was on the tip of my tongue.
So like Nicholas Holt from About a Boy grows up to become a war boy in Mad Max 4.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I like that. So for canon, people who might not be familiar with that terminology, what is canon in terms of fanfic and that kind of thing?
I guess it's things that are quite central to the main narrative. And, you know, things like comic books, which many different authors, many different ways of producing over so many different periods of time. They need to start talking about different things and responding as society changes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this idea of retconning coming through, rewriting a character's past to make it fit into a more contemporary thing. We're seeing this happening a lot with the Marvel films as they're coming out. It's a pretty interesting space. But for me, that's how I was approaching the show. There's a lot of different ideas, and we're all essentially trying to make sense of where we are, how we stand, and how we're positing the work that we make.
So I guess that gives you quite a good framework to work from in that sense of kind of curating your own practices, the narratives of your own practice into a space together. Is that maybe a good way of thinking about it?
Yeah, I think that kind of framework gives quite a broad leeway, I think, in terms of we all work using different material methodologies, I suppose. That kind of open framework allows them all to kind of sit in one space together and kind of talk about, wide berth.
So maybe if we pull it back to the materiality of the show a little bit as well, Claudia, what draws you towards these like crazy polystyrene shapes and these big like weirdly organic, weirdly inorganic things, and how does that fit into what you were thinking about when you approached this show?
Yeah, well, I was sort of approaching it through a sort of material fiction, or at least convoluting where those material histories lie. So for me, it was I was quite attracted to working with polystyrene and just plastic in general, with its origins stemming from sort of mass organic death, kind of in a way, and how that you can sort of collapse time in that framework by it's just Yeah, I was sort of using it as a metaphor for speaking about, for speaking to the place of the human, mm-hmm. And how and where that organic and organic can lie, and how the complicated origin can sort of convolute where the permeability of human flesh as well.
So that's a really nice way of tying it in, I think, to that idea of human and inhuman, and that complicated origins kind of goes back to what you were just saying, Dave, as well, of that sense of lots of things coming into the mix to make something that has a kind of new sense by sitting together in a space, maybe, as well. Raina, do you want to speak a little bit about your work, specifically the video that you've got in the show, because I think that also in its own way ties into that quite nicely.
So just to clarify,
Talk to us about your video. What's your video and why have you made it?
So I have three works in the show. They kind of operate as a triptych. So there's three screens, and on the left and the right are kind of still digital paintings, but they're displayed on TV monitors. So I guess they're kind of kinetic stills. But the central work is a looped video, and it kind of tries to adopt the visual language of StarCraft II. So I've been quite interested in games.
So what is StarCraft II? Because I know there'll be people out there who know, and there'll be plenty of people like me who are less familiar with StarCraft II.
Okay, so for those who don't know what StarCraft II is, it's a real-time strategy game developed by Blizzard Entertainment. And it's one of the longest played esports out of, I believe, any other game. So it's got a very long history, massive fan base around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also been used for artificial intelligence research. And the reason it's been used for artificial intelligence research is because of its long history as a game that's played, and it has a lot of data around it.
Right.
There's a very high level of play. I've tried to kind of look at the way the visual language of StarCraft II kind of collapses into this tech world.
Mm-hmm. So how are they mining data from that? I'm actually really curious.
Basically, whenever tournaments are held, the replays from the professional players playing the game are kind of saved, and they're kind of stored in a database, I believe. And that data is then disseminated for research purposes to various companies, such as Facebook and Samsung and Google. And I believe they're actually open to anyone to use. But essentially, these big corporations use them to test various algorithms. Before,
how people respond to things, right?
Yeah. Stimulus. I mean, so games have been, there's a big history of using games for AI research. So
it starts with Deep Blue, right? And chess?
Yeah, basically Deep Blue. If people who aren't familiar with that was IBM's chess computer, which beat Kasparov, I believe.
Oh, that's, okay.
Yeah. So this is that Google have been working on this problem quite a bit. And so they've released chess programs, Alpha and Alpha Zero, and Go recently, which was a big milestone for AI. And most recently, Alpha Star, which is kind of seen as the biggest leap forward, just in terms of the action space and the problem space that StarCraft represents. So the works essentially kind of, try to tie in these visual languages and this kind of weird confluence of tech and gamer culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the idea of that, because what I found when I approached your work, Raina, is that the visual language spoke to me, but I didn't know much about the context, because I'm not that familiar with that part of the internet world necessarily.
Yeah, well, I guess my hope is that you don't need to know.
Yeah.
A lot of the symbols are maybe quite ubiquitous across science fiction, that kind of hammy pop culture science fiction.
Which is the best kind of science fiction. I'm just going to put that out there. Hammy pop culture science fiction is the best kind of science fiction. Awesome. So maybe, Dave, we'll come back to your flag now. So, I mean, your kite, rather, its flags. So what made you want to make this giant aluminium kite with these beautiful flags hanging off of it? Where did you get to from your looking at canon, looking at fan fiction as an entry point? How did you end up with a giant kite?
Right. I think that starts with the fossil itself, which has been sitting on my deck for a while, and took it from the beach when I was a kid, and there's a lot of questions around that now. And the initial idea with the work was to have that rock, have that fossil with all of its histories attached to it, floating above the area in which it was found.
Mm-hmm.
So that led into a series of questions, like, how am I going to do this? Am I going to get a whole bunch of drones together? Or, and, you know, like the easiest solution is always the best. And along with my painting practice as well, just thinking about color and movement, which is what I really love in kites as well, and that's what I love about abstraction. And it just made sense to merge the two. And initially it was just supposed to be a video of this fossil perilously dangling above the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
The realities of building a kite to those wind conditions is far more treacherous and difficult for just me as an artist. But I would like to get it to that point eventually. I'm determined to make that kite fly. So
It's quite a hefty kite. You're going to have to get a bit of wind behind it, maybe.
Yeah, well, everything will fly. It's just depending on how fast the winds are.
Or how high you drop it from, maybe, as well.
That's the other point, yeah.
Awesome. So I think what we'll do is we'll play a track, and then we'll come back and talk a bit about the show that you guys as a group had at Meanwhile last year, which this work at Room Gallery, this show at Room Gallery, kind of acts as a bit of a sequel to, or that's how I've heard you guys speak about it, at least, which I'm really interested in. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Art Bank on 95 BFM. We've got David, Claudia and Raina in studio, and they're chatting to us about their works at Room Gallery, and we're gonna listen to Tidal Rave now with Dark Wizard. I'm Rachel, by the way, and if you want to get in touch, 5395 is the text number.
The feeling that I'm not alone. Dan, you have clean teeth, but I notice you don't own a toothbrush.
Why would we need two toothbrushes?
No, you need your own brush.
We share kisses, sweet loving, what's the difference?
own brush.
Some things should never be shared. HPV is a virus that can cause HPV cancers. Protect yourself and your partner. The HPV vaccine is now free for men and women 26 and under. Share a trip to your doctor today. The HPV vaccine is a prescription medicine with benefits and risks and is free for 9 to 26 year olds. Sharing of toothbrushes is not recommended. Choice is yours. Securus, Auckland.
5BFM presents Sun, Kill, Moon, May 25th at the Tuning Fork.
Was backstage in Moscow late one night.
Sparse, intense, mesmerising. Get ready for an unforgettable over 2 hour live performance drawing from Sun, Kill, Moon's extensive and acclaimed catalogue. Sun, Kill, Moon, May 25th at the Tuning Fork. Get your tickets now from Ticketmaster.
More like Felonious Monk, eh, fella?
Quite. Mingus and so on, etc. Yes,
yeah. Are you guys talking about jazz?
Yeah.
Squiddly bebop. Hey. Yeah. Love jazz. Yeah. All that stuff between the notes. Love that. Yeah. You guys know Davis?
Oh, Bitches Brews.
Bitches Brews. Good album.
What? Nah, my mate Davis. He likes jazz.
Oh, okay. Yep.
All kinds of people love jazz. The 95BFM Jazz Show. Sundays at 12 with Blind Mango Chutney, Deaf Jim, Miss Dom or Dr. Mark Baines. The 95BFM Jazz Show. 12 till 2 p.m. Sundays. Jazz. They just make it up as they go along.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
You're listening to Art Bank on 95BFM. Before the ads there, we had a track called Dark Wizard by Tidal Rave, which is a great name. And we've got David, Claudia and Rainer in studio, who've got a show on at Room Gallery at the moment. Remind us of the title there, someone. I'm looking at you guys again to test you.
Sometime, someday, when all is said and done.
There we go. We've just been speaking a bit about what your works are, how the show's kind of come together and how you guys have come together as a group. And you've actually worked together a lot as a group of artists. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about Meanwhile, which is an artist-run space in Wellington, which we've talked about a lot on the show because they do a lot of really cool things down there. But you guys had a show there last year and this one at Room kind of acts as a sequel to that. So what was the show at Meanwhile last year and how does this feed into what you're doing at the moment?
Claudia and I proposed a show to Meanwhile, and separately Dave and James proposed a show. I believe due to their scheduling, or perhaps that we maybe possibly knew each other, they suggested the idea of us working together.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the start of that collaboration. I believe it was maybe Simon.
Who put you all together?
Yeah, Simon
together.
And Jordana working on that.
So that was quite fortuitous matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to maybe want to speak about what the show?
The show was called Fine Moon, Poor Tuning.
It's a lovely title, that.
Oh, thanks. It was a really fun show. I think we approached that one from a place of phenomenology, as well as ontology, and that was where the fine moon and the poor tuning sort of came from. It like just the fact that radios work with crystals, mm-hmm. and our timekeepers and our watches work with crystals as well as ways of mitigating and regulating time, and there's a lot of really wonderful phenomena that we use in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that sort of led into ways of using technology. What is the phrase? Sorry, my brain's collapsing here in this.
That's all right. It's a Sunday morning. That's what we're all here for. Everybody at home, I hope you're all just chilling in your beds or on your couches or on your porches or something. That's just the vibe. It's Sunday morning.
I remember now. Technological disobedience.
Nice.
So it's this idea where you which actually came out of Cuba post embargo after the Bay of Pigs scenario, where the government set forth a couple of programs to teach people basic home repairs and how to fix a couple of the units that they had. And a great example of this is a combo washer and dryer, which was ubiquitous. The dryer tended to always fail, and there was a part that just couldn't be made in Cuba and right. couldn't be replaced. So what tended to happen is the machine was cut in half, and that motor from that dryer was taken out and then turned into something like a key cutter or a shoe buffer or the engine for a little scooter. And it's just a really wonderful idea of using things not for their intended purpose and bringing it out into other dialogue. So that's where I think we were all sort of approaching it from in some ways.
And so then from that kind of collaboration down in Wellington, you sort of were like, let's do another show together again this year because that was fun. Is that basically how that ended up?
Yeah, it worked really well. We all back each other immensely, and that's a really wonderful thing to be working with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a great experience all around working together.
And you guys wanted to shout out the crew at Room as well because they've been obviously very supportive and they do amazing stuff there too.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. phenomenal Absolutely. Work. And quite privileged to be a part of the show there in that space during this time. It's there's a lot happening and it's only going to get more and more intense as more pressures increase. So I think we've all just got to keep making and keep supporting each other, right?
Exactly, and support the spaces that support the artists as well. Right. So that's really, really cool. Do you want to remind us of the dates? So if people want to go and check out your show at Room, when and where can they go?
It's on until the 24th of March. They just head to 3 Summer House Lane. And they think that their time's Thursday to Friday, 1 till 6, and Saturday, 1 till 4.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.